What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of League Pass and Chill. We're packed with you. We only have three people today. Sorry, guys. Gardy's not in. Tom Hanley's not in. So it's just me, Olga Nulich. Ted Smith's over there. Harrison Pullinger is there. And the league is backwards. The Celtics are good again. The Warriors are not good. The Lakers are non-existent.
Lucky
our opinions are borderline irrelevant. Like, because everything just changes so quickly, man. Like, it's tough doing a basketball podcast week to week, but we've spoke about it before. All we can do is react to what's happening in front of us, and what's happening right now is the Celtics have flipped the script.
I mean, I feel like that's what people want to hear anyway. They want to know what's going – we're a product of history,
yeah.
Right? We react to things that are happening in real time.
Yeah.
You all get to listen to
it's,
that.
It's 82 games. The sands are going
to
shift.
Right. As in, it's I want to say it's embarrassing, but it's really weird to go back and listen to when, like, the Grizzlies were the number one seed and we were like, oh, my God, they're totally legit.
Michael Stoltz having career nothing.
In November, I think I scolded Gardy for not wanting to watch Memphis.
Yeah.
Now, who does?
Yeah.
It's very weird.
And I'm sure part of the reason why D'Angelo Russell's turned around is because he heard Harrison throwing shade at him at the start of the year.
Exactly right.
So, nice. Good job by you.
Who'd want him? Everyone now.
I mean, so that's what's happened, though. So, last week we had a small conversation about the Celtics being in trouble.
Yeah.
And then they just went and won three in a row, one of them against Golden State. There was a blowout against Golden State. They beat the Lakers. Obviously, the Lakers are not good anymore. I think that's the politically correct way to say that. They're not good at basketball. And they have a game against the Clippers, I think, tomorrow. They could round out this California road trip with four straight wins.
Hayward looked good against the Kings, too.
He looks different, huh?
That win was without Kyrie. Yeah, Celtics have turned the corner, but the Celtics also have the best record in the NBA, best winning percentage in the NBA when Kyrie Irving is not playing.
That's not great.
How do you like that?
I mean, I feel like the difference for, you know, this week, Gordon Hayward obviously looks like a different player.
Yeah.
If we're going to be classic Australian podcast, Aaron Baines has been back.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. And he is a big difference for that team defensively, obviously.
That's a starch, yeah.
Right. But is this, again, we're going to do it again. Do we react very seriously to this? As in, do we see them now as a legitimate, I don't want to say contender now? Because they are so deep.
I don't want to say contender, but they are a team that I think all year, no matter their struggles, everyone has kind of feared them a little bit just because of how deep they are. So if they're hitting their stride at the right time, whoever gets them in the first round is not going to be an easy fight.
Yeah. Or the second. I think they'll end up finishing fourth. I can see them finishing stronger than the Pacers. But in saying that, they're only a game behind Philly as well. So it'd be nice if those two finished third and fourth and Philly wouldn't have to play them until a hypothetical Eastern Conference Finals. But we said last week if Philly played Celtics in the first round, it'd be a coin flip. A good way to measure like Celtics' improvement is that now I would be leaning towards the Celtics winning that seven-game series.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay, because you know, right now we have the Sixers moved up to the third seed in the East. They beat the Pacers today. In all likelihood, the Pacers are going to drop to that fifth seed. And it'll be a fight for the third seed between the Celtics and the Sixers, right? That's what we want to see.
Yeah. If you're Boston, do you want to play Indiana more so than Detroit, though? Detroit have been killing it in the last couple of weeks.
So Detroit's 10-2 over the last 12 games.
Yeah.
So that's since the deadline, basically.
Like Reggie Jackson last month averaged just under 20 points and 5 assists. That's Reggie Jackson.
I know. They're playing really good basketball.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, who guards Blake Griffin? Like, Blake Griffin, I'll put it like this, you know, is it weird to say that I'm trying to think of who we're talking about.
Celtics match up better against Indiana.
I'm talking about
Celtics. Blake Griffin.
Celtics Pistons. Celtics Pistons. That's my bad. So I'm thinking Celtics Pistons. Is Blake Griffin the best player on the floor? Am I overreacting to how well he's played this season?
And Blake Griffin's awesome. He's definitely got more strings to his bow than he's ever had before. He's not the same dynamic presence underneath the ring, but he's a lot smarter than he used to be.
Right. As in he's a good passer. He's taking step back threes now. Yeah, I get that's not like a prominent part of his game, but he's legit.
If you can pick your team out of the Celtics roster and Detroit roster, who do you pick first if you're the captain kid at the park? It probably is Blake Griffin, right?
I feel like it is, because do you pick Kyrie? I don't think you pick Kyrie first.
No.
I don't think you pick Al Horford first.
Definitely not Al Horford. It'd be out of Kyrie and Blake, maybe Tatum, but probably not Tatum in the same breath. So.
And as scary as it is, probably Drummond as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
do you actually fear the Pistons that much? I know it's weird to react because it's just the past 12 games, they've been really balling out. Two of those games against the Bulls, but there have been good wins in there. I think a win against the Warriors was in there too.
I don't fear them that much, but you look at Boston, their strength is in their wing depth, which won't really come to play when you got Andre Drummond getting 20 rebounds a game, Blake Griffin controlling the paint as well. So where they're weakest is through the middle. Al Horford is going to have to box out Andre Drummond.
Yeah, he's going to have to try.
Yeah, while Jason Tatum is trying to box out Blake Griffin, that's not going to work.
It's
I think they match
not
up.
Possible.
Yeah, they match up way better against Indiana than they do Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, I still take the Celtics.
Yeah,
because that's the safe money. But it's going to be a juicy matchup, especially round one. If that's the way it plays out.
Do you think any team in the East can match up or compete against the Celtics' depth, or has anywhere close to the same amount of depth that they do, other than the Bucks?
If you're asking who has the most depth, off the top of my head, I would say the Celtics. You look at the guy.
Probably in the league.
Yeah, you look at the minutes that Rozier's getting and stuff, like where he would be a starter for half the teams in the comp. Right. So, yeah, they have the most depth. But it's just you watch highlights of their games before this mini win streak that they're on. Everyone commenting on them, we're right. It looks like guys taking turns at going to the ring or trying to get their own shot off. But if they can keep the flow that they've got going now and keep those bench rotation players happy, because that's a big part of it, clearly.
Yeah.
And clearly that's a big part of it. So if they can keep those rotation dudes happy, they might be able to utilise their depth, which they do have the most of.
So in the same way that the Celtics are looking somewhat legitimate right now, and again, we're reacting to the current state of play, the Warriors are seemingly the opposite. You know, we're recording this on a Monday in Australian time. They just lost to the Suns.
After losing the Magic.
Oh, right. Like, that's not a good loss, and they've had just a tough stretch of losses this past week. Or the past 2 weeks, to be honest. As in, how much are we reacting to that? As far as DeMarcus Cousins is an actual liability on the defensive end. Kevin Durant's just sprained his ankle. I don't know if that's going to be a long-term thing, but I guess something to look out for. Are they a Kevin Durant injury away from just not contending?
I don't know. I find it so hard to even contemplate the idea of ruling them out.
Right.
Just because of the how terrifying that Klay Thompson the other night, we were sitting there watching the game, Steph for 8 plays in a row was just a mess. And then Klay Thompson lights up for 27 and a half.
I left the building and went home, and Harrison texted me saying the Warriors are up by 17 points now. And I looked, Klay Thompson just got 27 points at the half, just out of nowhere.
Yeah, you got to stop so many people.
Yeah.
For the Warriors, someone's going to get you. But, you know, I'll point out that the Suns, I'll double down on what I said last week, actually. I mentioned that ESPN article that called out the entire Suns organization and said, called them toxic, which is a bit of a buzzword when you're trying to tear shreds off someone or something these days. But they called them toxic, and I think they have reacted well since then. So because the Suns are about 500 or a bit better over the last couple of weeks, which is just such a huge improvement. Like they were looking like they weren't going to get anywhere near 20 wins. I think they're a bit. They could get close to that by the end of the season.
It's kind of what you thought they'd be at the start of the season, which is a team that is not good, just in totality, but have the talent, whether it's Devin Booker or DeAndre Ayton or even Kelly Oubre now, to steal wins just because there is some interesting individual talent there.
Yeah.
It's going to be prominent soon, those guys.
Yeah, before we get back onto the Warriors, the Suns did need to do something because, okay, you look at these individual pieces like Ayton and like Booker, and I was like, they seem like good pieces, But in saying that, I don't know what else they need to make this team competitive. You know, like what could help Phoenix get into the playoffs in the West? Still felt like a lot, which means that if they struggled like they did for the first three quarters of this season, would have been huge question marks coming into free agency and in the offseason. So I think it's good for the young dudes to turn the corner. When the Lakers lost to the Suns, like they put the nail in the coffin, realistically. But back to the Warriors. This is probably the most surprising loss. It's a busy time of the year, so it kind of flies under the radar. But the Warriors losing to this year's Suns is
at home a month out from the playoffs,
and also a bit over a week ago from that thumping they caught from the Celtics as well. So and Boogie doesn't fit at the moment, right?
No. I think you look at that Warriors team, and a lot of them look disinterested on the court. That's not something which is going to continue through first game of the playoffs. Right now, you're arguing, do they need home court advantage over the Nuggets to win the West? I don't think they do.
You don't think so?
No.
Even with the altitude?
Well, I said this to you the other day. I think Denver are the biggest lie in the Western Conference.
Ooh, ouch.
I just do not trust them as a playoff team. They're a team which I don't even think they're 500 on the road.
A lot of decent teams, they're
500 on the road.
Celtics are about 500 as well.
But I mean, Houston is above 500 on the road.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, I think, could be above 500 on the road. Golden State's above 500 on the road. So there's three teams there which I would care more about coming up against than Denver.
What could hurt them is the fact they didn't make the playoffs last year. Like, they don't have...
They've got a lot of unproven dudes.
Not much experience in terms of, like, win or go home games or... the bright lights where the entire nation's watching you play an elite team like the Warriors, which I don't think it'll get to that. I look at the Rockets, the Thunder. I cannot see Denver making it out of the second round. But
So chances are Golden State will have home court through the playoffs anyway. So, like, I don't think them looking disinterested now matters too much just because... Okay, you sit Boogie down against those quicker teams, which they will. And, okay, you still got Clay, you still got Steph, you still got KD.
Yeah.
They also have Andrew Bogut.
Yeah.
Who signed the event minimum deal with them last week. Less than a week ago. Are we trying to take our Australian hats off and trying not to...
Do we ever wear Australian hats?
Never. But trying not to hype up a signing just because we are Australian and Andrew Bogut is also Australian.
Yeah.
You know, do we think this can actually make a tangible difference?
Yeah.
Or an intangible one, a difference.
No,
I'd have to qualify that.
I mean, he's not going to be the difference between them winning or losing, but he could be the difference for Boogie Cousins in regard to keeping him fresh. He's going to give them an opportunity to monitor his minutes a bit more closely. Who's some of the more threatening big guys in the West?
So when you look at Nurkic, you look at Jokic.
Great example. You put Capella. Bogut on that. Yeah, yeah. Bogut's going to get more minutes in those games.
Gobert, yeah.
Yeah. When he had that press conference just after the news got released, you were there actually. I cut it up on EVS and I could hear, I was like, wow, Ogden.
That was me.
In a big spot.
I messed up a question too.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
What was the question?
I was trying to word it nicely because he was traded away from Golden State so they can sign Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
right?
And he said he'd take a pay cut to stay, which is...
Right, and they were just shedding cap space. They traded him and a second-round pick for a conditional second-round pick. Like, if you're an NBA player, it feels a bit shit to be traded for a second-round pick.
After you said you'd take a pay cut.
Was he in the Harrison Barnes deal?
No. He was a separate trade just to get rid of him as he was seen as a contract, right? So, okay, don't laugh. Okay. So that's just like, you feel shitty if a team does that to you, especially because like, oh, we're going to bring in a better player.
Mm.
Like it's, yeah. And so I tried to ask him just like, how does it feel to go back to an organization that did that to you?
Yeah.
I just didn't word it as nicely as I would have liked.
You know what makes all the pain go away?
What?
The fact that you're probably going to get a championship ring. For nothing.
Sure. Yeah.
But
that's what he said. And he said he gets along with all the players as well, obviously. Yeah. He did. That was an interesting group. Like, they really got along. That starting group and Iguodala, like, that was a cool group. And apparently he's really very excited to see Clay.
You can see why he'd be appealing to an organisation like the Warriors in that press conference when he said, I don't care how many minutes I get. Like, I just want to be involved. And if you think back to the Warriors' first ring, Bogut, I think, was third team all defensive in that year, 2015. So he was putting up like 10 and 10-ish for a good team. But then in the finals, that was the birth of small ball.
That was the death lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was like game 3 or 4. The death lineup was created.
Bogut averaged a couple of minutes a game.
I think he had DMPs the last 2
and games. He took it like a champion. And that matters, man, because when someone's willing to put their ego and pride aside for the betterment of the team, you got to love that. And he represented that again in that press conference. So I'm not surprised the Warriors went after him. And I think he will help that team. He won't be the difference again between them getting a ring or not. But
like, you look at how many big bodies are there that you can just sign between now and the playoffs? Not that many. So if you can bring in someone who you played with for a couple of years, the offense hasn't changed. Like, it's still the same system. You've still got Draymond Green barking orders at you on the other end. So like, the defensive switches hasn't changed either. It's just really, you just bring a guy that knows the exact system back.
Who's also like 20 pounds lighter.
And he's going to be good on the boards, and he's got good hands for a 7-footer. So,
you know. Right. And he's stayed relatively game fit playing in Australia.
But it's been perfect for MVP.
Yeah.
MVP.
Yeah.
Defensive player of the year. Let's go.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory, but I've just thought of it now.
I'll tell you if it's a conspiracy theory.
I know you will. So when did the Warriors go through that little phase where they weren't, where they were acting up against it, where Steph Curry was out and KD and Dre went through that situation?
Would have been
this season.
Would that have been this season?
Would have been December.
End of December?
Mm.
So what Andrew Bogut told me was that he got a text from a player around December, December. So December 20 was when they were on a road trip in Cairns. That's when he got a text from a player saying, hey, what's your situation like? And then a few days after that, some of the members of the Warriors brass started texting him saying, hey, like, can you get out of your contract and come now?
Okay.
Excuse me.
Tampering.
Okay, yes. Yes. Low-key tampering, but not really, because I don't know if the NBL has tampering rules.
Yeah, yeah. Kings are okay with it.
And so they wanted Andrew Bogut to come at that point in the season. They were prepared. They said, hey, can you get out of your contract and come now? He said, no, I can't do that to the Sydney Kings.
So I'm not leaving an Australian summer. No, no.
Exactly. No, he gets to drink what Patty Mills said. He gets to drink coffee and be an Australian summer.
Yeah.
So he chose not to leave the Sydney Kings. He wanted to win a championship. They got knocked out in the semifinals, obviously. But is that, do we think that was the Warriors preempting or at least reacting really extremely to a situation, a chemistry issue?
I mean,
are we reading way too much into this?
Boogie was back anyway.
Right.
So I think you're reading too much into that, just because why would you be bringing the 7-footer back when you don't know how Boogie's going to fit?
No. I think Olgan is saying that there was some stuff happening in between games, like the traveling, like chemistry, right? And so then someone's know. Like, you know who'd set this straight? Bogut. Like, you know, like he'd be good for team cam.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Bogut. Wow. Bogut is like the veteran who's won a championship there before. He's
he's huge too, man. When someone huge tells you something, you're like, yes, sir.
And I'll say this in the most endearing way possible. He's a dickhead in the sense that he will, as in he's a smart ass. He will say it as it is. Like,
that's what I mean.
He will tell you that if you're messing around, he will tell you. Like, he's not going to sugarcoat it, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't care what you think of him. So maybe that was their thinking. Like, hey, like Draymond Green's acting up. Kevin Durant's acting up.
KD, that's the one. KD's getting away with stuff and someone's like,
right. Steph's not here. He's still injured. Like, we need like an enforcer off the court. Like, hey, Andrew, what's that deal with the Sydney like?
Yeah.
Can you come now?
That is incredible praise. If that's true, that like you cannot say higher than that.
They targeted him
and
they got him. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, there's other options out there. Like, there's an entire G League with big men.
And we're taking that extra leap by saying that them reaching out to him at the end of December was reactionary to the issues, the chemistry issues they were going through. But, you know, let's leap. Okay.
I like it.
One of the teams that was supposedly on Bogut's radar was the Sixers. He apparently said he wouldn't go back to the NBA if it was anyone but the Warriors just because of, I don't know, loyalty. I don't know what that means. But the Sixers won today. They're the third seed. They have the season in the East. They have the season series over Indiana now. You know, they're kind of putting it together. Joel Embiid came back today, looked really good. Really changes them on the defensive end.
I just like they don't get bogged down as much because when they're about to, they'll go, oh, we'll just give it to Embiid in the post.
Right. And he just dropped like the quietest and sneakiest 30 and 14 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like no other, I don't know if any other team in the East has that other than like Giannis maybe.
No, but, it's, Giannis doesn't do anything quietly.
Right. but as in, is that something that you think the Sixers can hang their hat on, you know, what they do on the defensive end, bringing James Ennison as a dude who can defend. Mike Scott is an upgrade defensively from Mike Muscala. You know, are we looking at them now and
he
saying...
He sucked the other day for Philly. I kept on saying he can't play anymore. we're watching it upstairs. He had two charging fouls in the first minute and a half. Amir
Johnson.
He's got to go.
Amir Johnson was actually good in this game against the Pacers. Right. But no, he's looked a bit... Like,
yeah, two offensive fouls in a minute and a half. Do that.
It's a bit funny watching Amir Johnson play.
While Embiid was out.
And like, so that's, are we looking at these Sixers and saying, you know, can they make a deep run in this postseason leaning on their defense as opposed to the other end of the floor?
I mean, to me, well, they're still going to have JJ Redick. So everyone else needs to, in their starting lineup. So they're going to have to, everyone's going to have to chip in defensively if they're going to make a deep push into the playoffs. But I think the most promising thing for the Sixers, it's actually a negative as well, but they haven't performed to their potential, not consistently. And it's like, oh, I wonder if they'll get it together. But if they do get it together, we don't know what they can do. Like if they really start meshing, we see it in glimpses where it just feels like, someone is streaming towards the hoop and someone's going to finish from a nice pass from Simmons or Tobias Harris, who has, again, looked electric since he's been playing for Philly. I think there's still some untapped potential, but it starts with defense because you saw that game versus the Celtics where it was over by the end of the first quarter. Yeah. They came back a couple of times, but it was dead. They were flat. They can't let that happen. They need to be on point defensively. Embiid needs to stay fit.
Yeah, that's the biggest key, Embiid's health, because you look at the biggest threats in the East and Toronto, Milwaukee, depending on who you are, is 1A, 1B. Over when we were away, Tom and I, we went and saw Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Kenny Atkinson rolled out with Jarrett Allen marking Giannis. His first four possessions, he got blocked twice and turned the ball over twice. Yeah. So potentially that's something that they could do where they push Embiid onto Giannis, but you don't need to chase him up to the 3-point line. You let him have that.
Yeah.
So you step back, and when he comes into the paint, you've just got size, length, and one of the best rim protectors in the NBA. So if he can stay healthy and out of foul trouble into the playoffs, he will be a massive difference maker, not just because he makes up everyone else's mistakes. He will be the guy that can lock down Giannis.
Yeah.
So that's made me think of something that, almost going off on a tangent a little bit, but this is what makes me think the Bucks are going to get to the NBA Finals, which is the fact that if you look at every team atop the East, they're all so switchable. So they have, as better than anyone in the West, effectively, the players who can switch on to someone like Giannis and be really effective on the defensive end. Yet the Bucks have a really, really good record against teams atop the East.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we're underestimating the Bucks' depth just because of, I don't know, just the way these teams are able to defend Giannis, but the Bucks are still amazing against these teams.
So, well, we haven't
seen... Are we maybe overestimating how important it is to defend just Giannis?
I hadn't seen a center come out and from the tip-off line up against Giannis. Not switch off a screen, just line up against him. And
do you think, sorry mate, but do you think Embiid can move as well laterally as Jared Allen does though?
Well, he doesn't need to. He's bigger, so he doesn't need to move quite as quick. And it's only really cutting off the rim each side, so it's like a 45-degree step each side instead of like chasing him like across the perimeter, which you'd have to do against a Kawhi.
You see what I'm saying, like though? That. Jared Allen's pretty nimble for a 7-footer.
No, absolutely, but Embiid is just like Embiid's a beast defensively.
Oh,
like, we've seen it as a rim protector, and Giannis gets all his points at the rim. So I think if they do that, and then you look at the rest of that lineup, they're still big across everywhere else. Tobias Harris is big.
Ben Simmons on Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Which is fine. Yeah. And then like the other four are pretty much all switchable bar Redick. But
yeah,
if Redick marks Brogdon, that's fine. Brogdon's not going anywhere in a hurry.
Like, Brogdon's going to get points against Redick, but if Redick continues to pull up career numbers, you'll cop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine how good you have to be offensively, someone like Redick, to be the, I don't want to say liability, but to be so not that good on defense.
He's a liability.
He's a liability.
He was a liability in the Celtics playoff series last year. He's like after him and after him and after him.
He's like wildly talented offensively.
Yeah. His best defensive attribute is the fact that he makes the person marking him chase him
run lots.
Yeah, like, that is the only good thing about his defensive game, is that he ties them out on the other end.
So look, that's the Sixers. We're going to mention this really quickly. The Mavericks lost to the Rockets today. And Harrison brought this to my attention. Like, I knew they lost, but Harrison
just
brought this.
Only just lost.
Only just. Chris Paul blocked Jalen Brunson in the dying seconds to win that game.
You don't get blocked by Chris Paul. Is that what you said? Literally anyone else. Oh, yeah. It was tough. I was going to hit the winner shot, then Isaiah Thomas blocked me. What are you doing, my guy?
So the Mavericks, the Mavericks lost. The Mavericks lost, right? And Harrison brought this up to me. Harrison's gone. So the pick that the Atlanta Hawks have, the one that they acquired from the Mavericks in that Luka Trae Young trade, is top five protected.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Mavericks are the sixth worst team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
There is a good enough chance that they'll be within the top five and they'll keep that pick.
Yeah.
Imagine, as in Trae Young's playing well enough now that it's like, it's not like a one-for-one trade, but it's, you know, it's not a bad trade for the Hawks anymore, right?
Yeah.
But imagine not having that second round. Imagine having drafted Luka and having given away Luka.
Well, and
yeah.
And keeping that pick.
The thing that happened today, which was like the ball buster, was that, yeah, okay, the Mavericks lost to the Rockets, which we expected, but then Memphis won. So Memphis moved above Dallas. So, and then if the Mavericks do get a top five pick, they keep their pick. They get, let's just say, for argument's sake, they add Cam Reddish, and they have Luka, Cam Reddish, Porzingis comes back, and then Atlanta get that pick from next year, which chances are is going to be in the playoffs. So it's now a crap pick.
Yeah.
Damn.
So like they could get Trae Young and pick 20 next year for Luka.
Dang. Do you shut down Luka?
End it. Cut him out.
I haven't looked at the schedule, but I hope Atlanta play Mavericks again before the season finishes.
Just watch
both teams try and lose. That'd be outstanding.
With both rookie trying to get rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And it'd just be one-on-one.
Yeah, everyone else sits and watches. Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
You talking about Cam Reddish makes me think that we definitely have to do something ahead of the NCAA tournament.
Mm.
Like, I just want to talk about some of the top guys that we're going to see there.
Yeah.
Especially because Ja Morant is going to be in the tournament. And there was like six members of the Phoenix Suns brass that was there to watch him. So that's, imagine, we were talking about the Suns earlier. What do they need? Imagine adding, I guess, a dynamic point guard like Ja Morant to Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Kelly Oubre. A nice team.
Oh, you know, yeah, maybe. But there's also there's a couple of point guards coming up in free agency that might look good at the Suns as well.
Yeah, but Ja Morant. He's at a Murray State.
Can you imagine how poor? I reckon that team would be worse defensively than Chicago have been this year. If you're rolling Ja Morant, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton as your starting three, your three franchise players,
Ayton will get better at defense.
Ayton's always had the potential to be good.
Oh, that's bad.
Booker's just like a little bit more athletic than that guy that can only just shoot throws. I know he did a good one-hand slam last week, but I was so surprised at that.
Mm.
Wait, Ja Morant?
No, Booker.
Okay, Booker, yeah, my bad.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a good dunk today as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Also a one-hand slam?
Yeah, my point is I don't know what his ceiling is defensively. I don't know how good Booker can get. Like, yeah, he's like 6'5", 6'6", but...
Surely he could just be fine.
Is anyone else done with Devin Booker being a franchise player, though? I'm over this chat.
I've had this chat, but... You know, There's some good players that suggest that Devin Booker plays better when the competition's better, which, you know, isn't good considering he plays at the Suns. You know, because they aren't in many competitive games. But he put up that 70, was it 70, 71?
70 against Boston.
In Boston. I know they lost and it meant, you know, borderline nothing. But
if you watch him today as well, he hit 8 straight points against the Warriors that basically sealed the game for them in Golden State, in Oakland. Like that was genuinely very impressive.
Here's one for you. You've got a nice, you're a GM, you've built a good front court, you've got a good wingman.
I'm Schleck.
Yeah.
Don't make me Schleck. Schlenk, my bad.
You've got to get a guard.
Yeah.
And you've got to choose out of Booker and Trae Young.
Devin Booker.
Yeah, I'm going to go Booker.
Okay, so you go both. Well, there you go.
Like that's so easy.
You say it's easy, but your question whether he's the franchise player for the Suns, Trae Young's definitely the franchise future for the Atlanta Hawks. So
But see, for me, if Atlanta, fingers crossed they get Zion, but if they get RJ,
yeah,
chances are RJ's now the franchise and Trae Young is the shooter.
Yeah.
I don't know, is that fair? Just from what I've read about, like watching Trae Young, Trae Young.
If you can shoot like 30% from 38 feet for your career, which Trae Young could end up doing, like you're going to be the franchise player.
It's
2019, dude.
I'm not mad at Trae Young being a franchise player if you put decent pieces around him.
Yeah.
Look at the way John Collins is playing.
How much is he on? Because surely he can afford a speech pathologist. You heard that, my thoughts. You heard him speak?
I have heard him speak.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm sorry, Trae.
That's fine. And also just like a comb.
But like...
Just comb it.
Jeez.
It's fine. He looks like a Furby.
But Trae Young has already won. Like, they won 23 games. Phoenix have only won 16. And Booker, Booker's the franchise player in, his third year?
Yeah, but again, we're dwelling on the Suns now, which is amazing. But it's just, like, Devin Booker's not a point guard. Like, he doesn't have – it's weird when you're playing in a system without a point guard, right? When you're Trae Young, you're in a team that just scores a lot of points. You're going to win some games.
Yeah.
And he's the point guard. Like, that's his job, to run an offense. As in, if you put Klay Thompson, and it's weird, like, if you put Klay Thompson on a team without a point guard.
Yeah,
not in a system that is beneficial for him, or, like, completely beneficial for him, then he's not going to...
Let's see how Booker goes when he's got the benefit of having a point guard.
Yeah.
When someone else can try and create some space for him. Let's see what happens. But it's too early to give up on him, but I think Terry Rozier... would be good.
I love Terry Rozier at Phoenix.
That's my pick. That's where I want him to go.
If they get Terry Rozier and then just some sort of nice stretch four man,
yeah,
or that kind of that 3-4 man just to play in the four.
Like that. Terry's staying in Boston though.
Terry.
Yeah. If Kyrie ships out, ain't going nowhere.
Oh yeah. Kyrie is shipping out. I'm so confident that Kyrie won't.
Play. Yeah. You've got to be equally as confident that Terry's staying.
Sure.
But he is a free agent at the end of the year. So, you know, let me spitball.
So let's say we're just going to do this now as well. Kyrie goes, does Al Horford go?
That was a Bill Simmons podcast.
He's gonna play Robinson,
a week or so ago. It was like, there's a hypothetical where the Celtics have to blow this up. where a year ago it was like,
this is
the start of the season. It was like, okay, this team can beat the Warriors. For the first time, it's like, there's a challenger.
You know, imagine going from that, as in the team that could potentially beat the Warriors, to this season, the team where it's like, is Brandon Ingram better than Jason Tatum?
Oh,
like, that's a question.
No.
That's a legitimate question. Is Jason Tatum just Rudy Gay? Like, that's a question.
As in
right now on a playoff team, if you're the Warriors, for example, and you can get one player, do you get Rudy Gay or do you get Jason Tatum? I think that's a legitimate question.
Tatum's best environment is clearly when he's the alpha dog. So if it's a setup where Tatum has to be, you know, the fourth or fifth guy like he is at Boston, then you go Rudy because you know what you're going to get. Where Tatum is still up in the air because he needs to be in the right set of circumstances, it seems, because he's not the same dude that was tearing up the playoffs last season. He plays better in certain situations, which is not what you want from an all-star. So,
yeah, I'm very happy with how many tangents we went on from...
I forgot where we started.
From the Mavericks. Yeah, that was... Also, this conversation started with the Mavericks.
What did we say about the Mavericks?
Al Horford.
might if they're at the top, if they're in the bottom.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
they can keep their pick.
They might keep it because it's protected. So I brought up the idea of shutting down Luka. They're not going to shut down Luka. But if they did, they'd probably keep their pick. The Lakers have shut it down, it seems. So Brandon Ingram has deep vein thrombosis in his shoulder.
Yeah, I'll speak to my 97-year-old nan, see how if she's got any tips for him.
That's so harsh. That's such a serious injury. Shit.
Isn't it?
So
it's the old fogies, isn't it?
It's also the same thing that shut Chris Bosh down for life.
So what happened? Yeah, but it was like it's in the it's in the arm. It's in his arms, and if you don't catch it early enough, it could spread to the lungs.
Okay,
right. That's what happened to Chris Bosh, and obviously you can't play while you're on blood thinners. That's an issue.
Well, egg on my face. I'll walk it back.
Yeah.
No more shade for the deep vein thrombosis.
Yeah, deep vein thrombosis. So he's got that. Hopefully there's only just one clot and they can get rid of that quickly and then he can continue, right? Because if there's more than one, he'll have to go on consistent blood thinners and probably can't play basketball.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it is more serious than, you know, you thought, Ted.
Yeah.
Nice.
The thing with that as well, which I found super weird, is that they can't be lying about that, because if that is true...
That hurts his stock, his trade stock.
Yeah. Not like New Orleans are not going to be like, oh, well, here's Anthony Davis for a guy that might never play again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they did make it up, kudos to you. Great imagination. Landing on that
one. Like he's got a torn ACL like, in his shoulder.
So
like,
wait, right. That's trying and test. What about deep throw? Okay. He still is a trade piece too.
He's their best trade piece because he's been playing really, really well.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's been shut down, according to multiple reports. Lonzo Ball's also been shut down. He's been out since.
He's not playing again this year.
No, he's had an ankle injury since like January 19.
Did he get injured last year as well?
Yeah. He's going to be on track to play about half of his games over his first two seasons in the NBA.
Yeah.
Which is not great. So he's been shut down for the remainder of the season, according to multiple reports, but like that's seemingly what is the case.
He needs his athleticism too.
Right.
Yeah, to get those 10 points a game.
What are you... so harsh.
No, because he's like, you know, he can't rely on his three ball yet. He needs to get points at the ring and he needs to be a top echelon defender.
And he needs to like run in transition too. Yeah. That's him.
Because he gets those four assists too.
Come on, man.
I feel like Harrison...
He's building.
Harrison's just salty because he got injured 2 days before we saw them.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And you just... Harrison hates point guards.
I love point guards.
I hate Steph Curry, too.
We traded for Markel Fultz.
How's that going?
Oh, God. Imagine... Oh, not even the worst shoulder injury we've spoken about today, huh?
No.
Of Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Nice magic. And... LeBron is going to have restricted minutes and probably won't play a second day of back-to-backs.
Yeah, I've been thinking about LeBron, how he's looked on court, and clearly just a different player from the one we've seen dominate the league for the last, 14, 15 years.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, he's not going to make the playoffs. Does that hurt his legacy? From LeBron's perspective, I don't think getting knocked out in the first round and not making the playoffs, there's a chance it's the same thing for him. Like, he wants the finals, right? And there's a chance he looked at it and was like, not going to make it. Not going to make the finals. And he's just been going through the motions. Because, like I said, not making the playoffs isn't a big deal for him if he's not going to make the finals anyway.
Do you think in his mind it's like finals or bust?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. And so you think perhaps he almost checked out mentally?
Well, maybe not intentionally,
right?
But he has checked out partially for sure. You can just see it. Throwing it to the backboard, letting that ball roll to, you know, when they let the ball roll on the ground, the clock doesn't start. They pick it up. He picked it up and went out.
Yeah,
like just stuff that you don't see the best player in the universe do. He's done a lot of things that have raised eyebrows. The effort and defense, All of these things. I know his defense wasn't great in the regular season last year either, but this is the worst it's been.
Totally.
For me, I think he's there's a chance he made an honest appraisal and was like, we're not making the finals, which means I don't really give a shit.
So, firstly, best player in the universe? I don't think so.
He was the start of the year.
Yeah. We had that conversation last week. I noticed at the start of the season, and I was wondering, like, has LeBron done this all the time? Well, he's been pulling up for just these stupid three-pointers that have never been and still not his shot.
Yeah.
Almost playing really lax and just having almost too much fun. Like, so much fun almost to the detriment of his team's success. And that's been going on since the start of the season. So, I wonder if your theory is correct. Has that been the case maybe since training camp? He's realized, this team's not going to get it done.
Yeah.
Like, this team's not to the standard that I'm used to. I'm going to go out there and just maybe just enjoy myself a bit and just, I don't know, just test some stuff out.
The thing that no one is talking about is that, okay, he's having a great time. He's passing Jordan. He's crying on the bench, all that stuff.
That's so Harrison, callous. Man of the people. just loves the stories that emote.
That's so callous.
But like him doing that, he is seriously affecting these young guys' developments.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't sit there and do that and expect Brandon Ingram to still develop. You can't sit there and do that. And, like, Kyle Kuzma, who is one of the poorer defenders in the NBA, is shoving him to close out.
I saw that. He's really embarrassing. Like, get in your lane. That was crazy. Like, that was crazy.
That's a good closeout, too, because of that.
That's the only speck of leadership we've seen around this Lakers team all season.
When Kuzma pushed LeBron.
Like people keep talking about how the Lakers have wasted a year of LeBron. Yeah, okay, but LeBron's also wasted a year of LeBron this year.
Yeah.
He had a serious chance to mentor these guys. And from the outside, which is all we can say, we haven't seen that at all. He tried to trade them all.
I'm also not even going to put it all on LeBron. Like, LeBron's done his damage, and that is what it is. And you know, and I'm sure he had a say, you know, he definitely had a say in the free agency decisions they made. Like, what is Magic Johnson and LeBron doing for bringing in Rondo, right? As in, you saw his little stint at the end of that game against the Celtics.
Weird.
Where he sat on the front end of the bench.
He sat with a crowd, essentially.
Right, where the courtside seats are with the crowd. Do you see that, Harrison?
No.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. So, like, I'll draw it.
That's, you know where the rich people
that's,
sit?
That's the bench usually, scorer's table. He sat here.
Yeah. And then the camera did that slow zoom on his face, and it was just on the little head shake. No, no.
Well, like near where Jack sits.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, and so that's obviously not a good look if you're a veteran on a young team.
Yeah.
But it's also just like he obviously didn't fit in a team that had LeBron running the point and then also Lonzo.
Rondo, until his last gasp, will do whatever Rondo wants to do. He is a separate entity to the rest of the NBA players. I've heard Mike Wilbon describe him as the smartest player in sport, the most intelligent. So
I believe he's
a free thinker, but it hasn't helped the Lakers. LeBron and Rondo on the court this year are -62.
Ugh.
That's not good.
Mm.
It's terrible.
Which is surprising. I thought there'd be some mesh there.
They actually, they've looked, because they look kind of okay together, because you've got two really, really great passers.
Yeah.
Just making good decisions, right? So, yeah, like, I feel like that from the get-go just wasn't good for these Lakers. Like, what are you telling Lonzo, bringing in someone like Rondo?
Yeah.
And starting Rondo in week one, didn't he?
Yeah.
So they put Lonzo on the bench.
Yeah. I mean, that made more sense to me at the start of the year. It did, because Rondo wasn't great last year, although he had a good last quarter of last season. But I was like, Rondo plays better in the like under the bright lights, like the more important the game, the bigger the game is, the more the game is a spectacle, Rondo performs, as we saw in the Garden, in Boston a couple of weeks ago. So, look, well, the Lakers, you know, outside of New York, it's the second or one of the epicenters of basketball on this planet. So I thought Rondo was going to perform.
Yeah.
But, yeah, looking back at it now, it's like, Ball was in his second year and he has been branded as a cornerstone of the future of the Lakers. So, yeah, there's been some weird moves. Now we can look back retrospectively, and a lot of these calls they made were just garbage.
Yeah.
So,
and after this recent stretch the Lakers have been on, where they've effectively ruined their hopes of making the postseason, Lonzo Ball stock has really gone up. the fact that they went through all of this without Lonzo, it's he's people legitimately looking at him and saying he is a big reason, or his absence is a big reason why the Lakers weren't able to perform the way that
their defensive rating just flipped.
Right, because Lonzo Lonzo is genuinely a great defensive player.
Yeah, and there's so many good point guards. There's so many good backcourt.
You agree with that, Harrison?
No, I don't. Continue.
There's just a bunch of good backcourt players in the NBA now. So if you've got someone that can put a hand in their face consistently.
Someone who's long and athletic.
Yeah. He's 6'5", 6'6".
He's one of the most up and down defenders you'll ever see in your life. This little clip of him just chasing the ball around like a golden retriever puppy.
There is a chance he's on the spectrum, though. So there's that. Can I say that?
That's all right, mate. We'll edit out later.
It's fine. You know. Love everyone.
And yeah, and so, and this video came out and it was like, Lonzo's going to be an all-defensive player this season.
I remember, yeah.
Okay, cool. He chased the ball and he marked five players depending on, I did the little ear things there for anyone listening.
Air quotes, not air quotes. Ear things. Ear things I'd think of either ears or headphones. But you're right.
Valid. What was also in that video was him just absolutely going outside what the team defense was doing, and everyone else on the court looking confused as hell by him doing that. Like, okay. He's chasing out to the three, the guy in the middle steps across, and then he runs up top, and the guy's like, oh, so I've got him now? Okay, cool. He marked five people and defended everyone. He also threw the other four guys out. So I think he's a difference maker because of his length and his steals and his athleticism, but
he's better than like Alex Caruso.
Well, it sounds like he's got a lot of effort.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
He's got a lot of effort.
Me too.
Yeah. In terms of him being a great defender, I'm not buying it yet.
Dang.
Oh, yeah. There are some stats that suggest they're a lot better with him. You'd agree with that though, right?
I think he is helpful for this team, but I don't think you're going to have the greatest defensive team because he's on the court. Like, no, I'm not buying that at all.
Sure. We can buy into that. So this postseason, this late stretch of this season, which is supposed to be the time where teams are seemingly trying to secure postseason spots, has really dwindled in the West. Because it seems as though the Spurs and Clippers are going to lock up those last two spots.
Yeah, it's sorted.
You know, right now...
I'm saying it now. West is sorted.
Yeah, the Clippers are four games ahead of the Kings. We have about a month left in the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very difficult to make up that sort of space. The Kings do have a pretty weak schedule coming up.
Spurs have got pop, though.
Spurs have pop. Spurs got a big win against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Which is massive. So it looks like they're going to have probably the seventh seed. You know, like from 6 to 8, it'll be the Jazz, Spurs, Clippers probably. It's kind of getting more interesting up in the East though. You got like the Heat, Magic, Hornets, all within a game of each other. So that's
the Hornets.
The Hornets might make the playoffs.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Can you read their record for me, please?
Yeah, they're 30-36.
Oh, that's worse.
The Lakers are 30-36.
Yeah, same record as the Lakers. That's worse than rewarding mediocrity, because mediocrity would imply that they're 500. You're rewarding not being as shit as the Wizards.
The Wizards are three games behind them.
They're a mathematical. chance. Oh.
Right now it's just the Bucks and Raptors who have secured spots. The playoff race is something that we're going to obviously keep track of as the season comes to a close. It's literally a month away, the playoffs. That's crazy. There's like less than 20 games left for each team.
Over-unders on how many times we'll give up on the Celtics between now and then. I'll set it at 2.
I feel like it'll just go back and forth. Like next week, it's going to be like, oh, this is the Celtics. Are they going to split them up?
Yeah, no matter what happens, we'll be able to be like, called it.
Yeah. it's going to be a really exciting month, I think, as in from now, which is like mid-March to mid-April, where we'll have March Madness, and we promise we will touch on March Madness, including the Australians who are going to be in there. Look out for Jaden Hodgson, who is on the Bradley Braves, who just won the MVC Championship and are in the NCAA tournament.
Nice.
Love it.
So keep an eye on that. If you haven't already, and shameless self-promotion, but hello, I did a story on Josh Green, who is bound for University of Arizona, will probably be
good school.
Right, will probably be a top 10 pick in the 2020 draft from Sydney, grew up in Castle Hill. I did a story on him. Go to our website, foxballs.com.au, and check that out, please.
Third best party school in America, apparently.
Steve Kerr and McConnell, I think, both went to Arizona.
Luke Walton also went to Arizona. TJ McConnell is quoted in my story.
Yeah.
As is DeAndre Ayton, also went to Arizona. Ben Simmons is also quoted in my story. So go and read that, please. Please read my story.
I'll read it.
Thank you.
I've read it. It's a good read.
Thank you. So yeah, that's us. That's This Week in Basketball. This has been League Pass and Chill. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alvin.
Bye.